Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. It's Dave Weiner here. And it's November 14th, 2005, and this is Morning Coffee Notes. We had a pretty raucous sort of discussion on the in the blogosphere over the weekend about Audible and podcasting and a bunch of other miscellaneous, mostly irrelevant stuff. You know, when people argue by sort of like stating somebody else's position, and then, you know, well, that's always dangerous when you state somebody else's or restate someone else's position, because that's usually pretty much a warning that you're, you know, why not just let the person speak for themselves? If you need to restate the position, even if you're like being diligent and mean well and everything, it's pretty likely you're going to restate it wrong. It's just, you can't read people's minds, and everybody knows that, and why pretend that you can? Every smart person sort of that's had any experience with life kind of knows how to debug that one, is that if person X is saying what person Y really means and then proceeding to argue with that, that's sort of disempowering to the person that's being, you know, that's being interpreted. If you have to stand by and listen to somebody do that, how long do you stand by before you say, wait a minute, that isn't what I said at all, and that isn't what I believe? And when somebody's being pretty reckless with that, argumentative, you might say, in other words, they're more into the argument than they are into trying to get to the bottom of, you know, if is there a difference, and if so, what's the difference? Maybe there's no difference. Maybe there is. But, you know, is it obfuscation, or are you trying to get somewhere, you know? And by saying this is what somebody really means, the chances of you being right are pretty slim, and you got to know that. Anyway, it's with that that I want to say that I really appreciate a post by a guy whose last name I don't know. His first name is Stan. And it comes from mobilepodcasting.blogspot.com, which appears to be a group site that's written by a bunch of guys. One guy's named Weirgin, and Stan is the guy who wrote this post, and a guy named Kevin Connors, Maestro, and Nod Reads. He talks about the Audible announcement and from the mobile perspective. And he says, and this is something I didn't know, let me just quote him. He says, first, saying that a podcast must be MP3 to be, by definition, a podcast is a little restrictive. Yes, MP3 is great, well-understood format, but it's not an all-purpose format. MP3 is terrible for over-the-air downloads to mobile phones, for example, which is why we use AMR, which is much more mobile-friendly and is on nearly every cell phone sold today. Well, okay, that's something I didn't know. I'm a cell phone user, of course. I've never actually listened to a podcast on a cell phone. I have a Nokia, and I'm on Singular. And, of course, if I can get it there, I'd like to try it. If not, I can kind of imagine what it would be like, I think, although you never know. Sometimes it's a kind of revelation, you know, when you try actually do something that you sort of thought about. But yeah, I don't have any problem with that at all. And in fact, you know, you have my permission to take Morning Coffee Notes and basically repurpose it into any format you want to. But I'm going to keep sending it out in MP3. And the reason why I'm going to do that is because, for a couple of reasons. One is, it basically can be listened to pretty much everywhere, including on that cell phone, because I got to figure they have a way of converting MP3 to this AMR format. So MP3 is sort of a baseline. It's kind of like ASCII text for, you know, audio. You know, maybe the quality sucks, but, you know, or who knows. I'm not I'm not like Doug Kay. Doug, you know, gets all this stuff, and he can tell you why one format's better than another format and what bitrate samplings work in what context and so forth. And, you know, there are a lot of people. Doug's not the only one who kind of get that, but I'm not one of them. I just sort of like plop down a microphone and hope for the best. I don't even wear headphones when I do these things. And you can tell the quality is often pretty spotty, but You know, I like to think that I make up for the quality in the production with the extra quality in the, in the content. And sometimes I might have actually achieved that. Which, by the way, brings me to another point. Is self-deprecating humor is always appreciated. It's always cool to say that, and you can find it. You can find a way to be not self-deprecating when you are self-deprecating. Like one of the things I say. Sometimes I feel it's necessary to remind people that, I could like have a handicap license plate on my blog if I really wanted to make the point. I really could do that. It's like the other day I was walking across Shattuck Avenue in Berkeley, and they have a rule in California, and California is a very different kind of. I know I'm like really diverging here, but it's a I think it's an important little divergence. I want to take it. They have a rule in California that says if there's a pedestrian in the crosswalk, the traffic has to stop. In fact, if you've taken driving tests in a number of different places, which I have, it's the rule everywhere, basically. But it's a matter of custom. In some places it's observed, in other places it's like every man for himself. Like in New York, for example, it's definitely not observed. You need to be very careful crossing streets in New York, and yeah, you can assert your rights as a pedestrian, but don't expect them to be given to you by default. And in most parts of California, and Cambridge, Massachusetts is another place that's like this. It's pretty good. People just generally stop. If they see somebody in a crosswalk, they stop and they let you go, right? But Berkeley's not like that, and it's really fucked up. I mean, it really is major fucked up because it's a city. Berkeley is not like Palo Alto. Berkeley is a city. It's got a lot of people in it. It's got congestion. It's got traffic. You want to walk across and you want to walk across Shattuck Avenue in like the gourmet ghetto area, and you're going to end up competing with cars because there aren't a whole lot of traffic lights. So those crosswalks are actually pretty important for your survival if you want to walk. And Berkeley's a good place for walking around. I really don't drive very much when living here. I kind of like that. Is that I can get places by walking, and my car kind of just stays parked, and I don't have to take it out. And if I had to take it out, it would be a real pain in the ass to do it because parking kind of sucks here. It's not an easy thing to do. It's not like living where I used to live in Florida, or even where I lived in Massachusetts. And I lived in suburbia in Massachusetts, or when I lived down in Woodside, I lived totally out in the woods, and just of course you drove everywhere, but here it's not like that. Here you kind of walk, and so you have to be pretty. You have to like really take some chances, and you walk out into traffic, and they don't slow down. It's sort of like they've done the math and figured out that you're going to be across the street, but barely by the time they come, and they don't even have to slow down. So I don't like that because what happens if I trip? I think like shit. That guy's gonna hit me if I like just like something, and I don't like it on principle. I'm kind of like stuck up about this, and I admit it. I'm a little bit of a bastard about this. So what I do is I stop. If I don't get the sense they're slowing down and cutting me a little bit of slack, like if I've almost got to run to get across the street, then I just stop in my tracks, and I'm basically saying to him, "Okay, asshole, you are gonna have to you're gonna have to stop or hit me." And I don't think you want to hit me because you're going to be wrong. And I might dash to get out of the way, but you're going to hit the brakes one way or another. This is going to, and it never, I never dash out so that he has to screech his tires, okay? Because that would just kind of be stupid. I leave plenty of time for them to stop. I don't like try to push it. Well, anyway, okay. So, we're always playing this game of chicken with the fucking cars, and it's driving me crazy. And I wish they would just, stop playing the game, because there are signs all over the place that say, the fine for not yielding to a pedestrian is, $500, and, where are the cops enforcing it? So, but they're not there. So, walking across the street, Shattuck, yesterday, and there in the middle of the goddamn street on the island, okay, we're not actually on the island, but we're sort of in the crosswalk where the island would be, is this handicapped guy in a wheelchair with one of those stems in his mouth. Like, he doesn't even have use of his arms, okay? Right? And he's like sitting there, and you look at the look on this guy's face. He's fucking panicked. I mean, and he's right to be panicked. The cars are whizzing by, and like nobody's like even slowing down. Can they see him? Yeah, they can see him. But they don't figure, well, like, we don't have to stop for him. You know, they're not even, like, thinking, like, there's a law here that says that you have to stop for this guy, okay? It's like, okay, if he was just a pedestrian, you have to stop. But, God, you have to stop doubly. This guy's handicapped. How the hell is he getting across the street? And he's in a dangerous spot. I mean, what kind of control of this device do you think he has? And I don't know. So what do? I just stand there in the middle of the street, and I stop the traffic. And I don't know what they think I'm doing, but I just stand there until this guy can get across. And I'm looking at these dickheads. The words just can't describe how fucked up these people are. Because here they are, like, taking chances with this guy's life. People who drive cars don't get that. They don't understand that they're sitting in this big piece of metal, okay, that weighs tons. And if it comes in contact with a human body, it pretty much screws that body up. And this is a body, this poor guy, his body's already fucked up. Which brings me around to my point, okay? So when a guy like Mitch Ratcliffe, like, does he not know that 3 years ago I had open heart surgery? I mean, come on. Give me a fucking break. I am like that handicapped guy out there in the middle of the street. You know, I'm lucky to be alive. I don't know if you get that, okay? But I am. And if you like what I do, then you're lucky I'm alive too. Okay? I just thought I would mention that. So I could put like a little handicap thing up there on my site that would say, you gotta really be nice to this guy and don't like get him all excited, all right? Like, because if you do, it could shorten his life. I'm dead serious. Stress is like definitely one of the risk factors in heart disease. And I take on a fair amount of stress because I love what I do and I love the people that I work with. I love what they're doing for the most part. And then there are just some like super selfish people out there who just want to extract their pound of flesh. They got to work with you the way they want to work with you. Like Mitch Ratcliffe. Mitch Ratcliffe, I don't know what the fuck Mitch Ratcliffe wants, right? He's a consultant working for Audible. Audible is a vendor. They're trying to get something launched in this space. Is this a tactic on the part of Audible? To have a guy flaming all these people in the community the way Mitch Ratcliffe is flaming us? Okay? If it's a tactic, it's a pretty shitty tactic. This is a publicly held company. You know? I mean, I would think that by now, at some point, they want to like sort of look at, they're kind of like those cars on Shattuck Avenue. And they're just zooming by. And they're not even noticing that there are people in the crosswalk there. The people in the crosswalk are their employees and their shareholders, right? These people are depending on them to do a good job. And their customers. How about that? What about their customers? You know? Maybe there is something to what Audible is doing. Okay? Maybe there's a way for them to fit in. I mean, I was looking for a just basically factual argument. One that stuck to the merits of the technology that they're advancing and the pros and cons. It's long past the time when you can obfuscate a discussion by, like, inflaming it. It just doesn't work anymore, okay? There used to be a time when if you could get the reporter, like Ratcliffe used to be a reporter, to cover it from your point of view, then the people who disagreed with you, if you gave them any voice at all, would be relegated. You'd run the quotes from them that you want to run, okay? And you can make them look any way you wanted to make them look. But now they've got their own blogs, and they've got their own podcasts, and you can communicate directly, and you don't need to go through those filters, and nobody really can control what you say. And so it's really hard to say what this guy is trying to do. I don't know. It's very confusing. It's probably not a good idea. Anyway, so back to, Stan and the mobile podcasting thing. So let's go all the way back and pop the stack because we're 14 minutes into this. And I thought at most this was going to be like a 5-minute little sort of rant lit. You know, just try to take this discussion and bring it into the podcastosphere. Because it's kind of where it belongs. Because we're talking about podcasts. We're not talking about blogging. It's nice, okay, to use a blog, but it's a pretty limited format when when you have this so much more expressive way of discussing things, which I'm deliberately trying to be expressive. I don't know if you can tell that. I mean, I used a few sort of like dirty words in there, right? I said, hey, you know, it's okay, right? And I'm telling you kind of what I really think. It's like, well, why inflame this, you know? Why take it there, you know? And what's, you know, and then I tell you what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, you know, these guys are using up my time, and I don't, maybe don't have all that much of that time, and I really kind of want to be careful about that. So anyway, so baseline is MP3 is got to be pretty much how you distribute the stuff, okay? That's how you start, because MP3 works on Macintosh, and it works on Windows, and it works on Unix, and it works on, you know, mobile devices, because whatever it is, you can convert to it. It works on iPods. It's cool because of that. And, you know, and then people say, well, you know, but it's got the patents and shit like that. You know, it's like basically you have to pay somebody if you want to do mass distribution of it for profit. But I say, wait a minute, that actually sounds like a feature to me because I don't have to pay that if I'm not doing it as a commercial thing. If I'm just like sharing my ideas with whoever wants to listen to them, then it's fine. It tilts the table in the favor of the individual, which is actually the way I want the table tilted. Because we've got all these jerks that are driving around in their big semi-trucks and, you know, gas guzzlers and SUVs and minivans and all this crap. They're going 60 miles an hour down the road, and they're not stopping in the crosswalks, okay? So maybe something that tilts the table in the favor of the guy who's in the crosswalk waiting for the traffic to stop is not such a terrible idea. There are times when we like that. We like it when our kids are walking across the street that the traffic has to stop for them. I mean, God forbid the traffic should treat a kid like the way they were treating the handicapped man. Well, I got news for you. Traffic does treat the kids that way. You know, you don't see a whole lot of kids crossing Shattuck Avenue. Good reason. They have good parents. The parents tell them, you know, kiddies, you can't go there. It's too dangerous. And that's kind of a shame. Why shouldn't the city be safe for kids? You know, another story. So I don't mind the fact that there's a tariff, that there's a commercial, yet another poison pill on MP3. You know, it's still ubiquitous. It's still the easiest. It's still the default. And you know what? Here's the other thing I wanted to get this point made, is that it's not like, you know, when I say that there was a poison pill we put in at the beginning, it wasn't like there was a choice, because there wasn't. If there hadn't been an MP3 format, then there wouldn't have been podcasting, okay? If there wasn't a format that was so broadly applied and so universally compatible and so easy to deploy, then I don't think you would have seen too much podcasting going on. We would be waiting for that, and at this late stage in this market, it wasn't about to come, because there's too much commercial interest lined up right now for anything like that to happen. Because each one of them is going to, you know, be standing there with hands on the hips and saying, we have a right to drive 60 miles an hour wherever the fuck we want to drive. And we're all going to go, oh, God. But they can do it. I mean, they can drive 60 miles an hour and spoil it for everybody. So there's your little metaphor for today. And that's my job, is to give you a little metaphor, something to think about. And, you know, let me just give a little sidebar here to the OPML community. And there's just a lot of stuff that's coming right now. We're very close on a lot of things. And I haven't really been talking about most of them because, you know, because my development's been kind of unpredictable, to be perfectly honest. I mean, you know, I can go weeks without doing any development. And I don't know what the hell's going on with me, but that's just the way it is. And so, like, if I start saying, you know, any day now we're going to have this thing ready, then I'm going to go and, like, stagnate for 2 or 3 weeks, and everybody's going to be sitting around and saying, well, where is the software, you know? And I'm going to go, well, you know, actually didn't come together the way I thought it would. Well, actually, some stuff is so close to coming together now that I really don't think there's much chance it's going to be delayed much further. The two things that are very close right now are, number one is the desktop aggregator, which I'm calling News River, because I like it, and because it's a river of news aggregator, and I have a domain called newsriver.org. Somebody else grabbed newsriver.com because I kept talking about river of news, river of news. Well, some other aggregator vendor grabbed newsriver.com. Let's hope they actually put a river of news aggregator on that page, but I got newsriver.org, so I'm happy. And that's pretty close. And As I wrote on my site, well, first of all, the thing that, the big thing that's in that, that, you know, that sort of, you know, is the new feature are the reading lists. And it worked. They work. You know, I have a reading list and I can add and delete things from it. And it's a subset of the news.com reading list. And my aggregator picks it up. When I put a new one in, it starts subscribing to it. When I take one out, if I haven't manually subscribed to that thing, then it takes it out. And I just think that's the way it's got to be. It's like, you know, there is, of course, if you decide that you want to keep it, there's a way to do that too. So it's good. So, and it's going to be GPL, open source. Going to ship along with the OPML editor environment. And that's cool. And there are a lot of developers that know how to program in there. So I'm kind of hoping that they get the idea that they could develop tools that run in there as well. And there's a fair number of people using the software. And it's sort of a user developer party together type atmosphere. That's why I'm resisting like doing too much hand holding on these things. I really don't want to do that because I can't be the go-to guy. I have to get rid of this stuff. I have to delegate. And it just can't happen until that happens. So I'm waiting. I'm just waiting for the guys on the Frontier kernel list and the Frontier server list to realize that this is a kernel and this is a server over here too. And the users happen to be showing up over here. And why not come over here and hang out? At least some of them. You know, the guys who like users. You know, come on over. There's some cool people here. People you haven't met before. They're tripping out on the stuff that you like. And your knowledge could be very useful to them. And, you know, since you guys are basically helpful people, you know, how about helping out a little bit? Yeah, probably, you know, one of these times, some of them are actually going to come up, show up. That's what we hope. Anyway, so that, and then there's the cloning of the backend for the OPML community server. Right now, there's still just only one OPML community server. This is the thing that does the hosting of OPML files and the hosting of the OPML weblogs and the OPML directories and so forth. You know, I've said I'm going to release the code on that. And there's a lot more to it than just releasing code. I could have released the code at any point and, you know, it would have been useless to people because it wouldn't have worked. You know, you'd need to, and I certainly never would have been able to update it. Okay, that's what the work is. It's a very precarious sort of, I have four computers out while I'm doing this work and I'm handling, because, you know, there's a host, there's home, which is where all this, the original sort of server that's getting cloned, there's the user workstation, there's the test server, and there's my own coding environment machine, and there's like mirrors and scotch tape and baling wire, but it has to be done in a way that it's all supportable and maintainable, because I don't think the people who are operating this stuff really know that whole lot about the environment, and it's all going to come without support. So you know, it's got to kind of work if it's going to have a chance of doing anything for anybody. So the good news is that it actually is working, and I've got a system that allows me to make bug fixes and do updates. And I've got a test server that isn't the main server. It's up and running, and I can update my blog on it, and I can upload OPML files to it, and I can put directories on it and stuff like that. So it's a bootstrap process. The next step in that process is going to be asking people to direct their desktop OPML editor at the server and see if it works. And then the thing I didn't mention is that the server is just the OPML editor. The OPML editor, you put it on a server and you just, you know, basically set a few things and you restart it and it comes up as the server. And that's it. Pretty simple. You know, it's a lot easier than setting up Apache. Except I should mention that you do need to have a static server, although it may be possible. And this, I'm leaving for somebody from the Frontier community to come in and help. It is possible to have it all be self-contained. But I don't want to do that myself. I want to work with somebody on that. In other words, I have to leave some things undone, and they don't have to be hard things to, you know, they could be easy and they could be fun things, but we've got to get a development community bootstrapped here, because it just ain't going to work if I do all, if I have to do all the development work, it just simply ain't going to work. Okay. And so it's a lot of us are just, you know, I'm waiting for that, but you're waiting for it too, if you're waiting for me. So anyway, so we're about 25 minutes into this, and I think that's pretty good for a 5-minute podcast. I'm starting to get a little tired. So anyway, there you have it. It's Dave Weiner. It's November 14th, 2005, Morning Coffee Notes. Gosh, I should be playing some music, but let's see. Let me find something here. Oh, I know what I could play. I could play the that song that I was going to play last time that I couldn't find. So yes, it was Go to the Mirror was the song I was playing. But what I wanted to play was Smash the Mirror. And what I'm going to do, this is what I didn't do last time. I'm going to take the microphone off the table. So hopefully it won't be booming quite as much as it was the other day. So this is Smash the Mirror from The Who, Tommy. Okay, here we go. Okay, that's it. See y'all later. Oh. Ugh, I can't turn it off. Oh, man.